Tonight, a game show unlike any other you've ever seen. Right now, three teams are ready to go head-to-head in a battle of biblical proportions. The thing I loved about it was the people that were playing them, they weren't playing for themselves. They were playing for either a charity or a ministry. I mean, that's a win-win.
People are really responding to this idea and coming out in droves. It's now off the air, and it only ran for 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. Didn't it run for 4 seasons?
Mm-hmm. 3 seasons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, why? I am not sure. Why? Mm-hmm. It was for whatever reason. But it was cool because it really sort of let people... You know, it was a cool game show, because normally game shows, not so much, I don't watch. But this one was fun because, actually, I was going to do this Bible study last week, and it was, we were going to talk about what the Thackers did on their summer vacay. And so Larry and I ended up watching the Bible Challenge, which was fun. But there's only like 2 seasons. I think it ran for 3, but there's only a handful. It's It was really well produced and very impressive. We just ordered food in, and we binge watched on Netflix. We watched the Bible Challenge. You know, but it really brought home to me the importance of knowing the Bible, right? Knowing the Bible and being gently reminded how much I don't know. Because we'd be sitting there and we'd be thinking, this and then not so much, right? And this stuff you're like, you ought to be knowing. Let's see that. Position myself so I can see the screen. But that's sort of, which is just sort of a fun 4th of July Bible study. I wanted to do this. The BBT Bible Challenge. But I mean, as far as, gracefully. If there's one verse in the Bible about why you ought to study the Bible, and of all the verses, maybe I didn't pick the right one, but I think this being one of the pivotal ones, and it's from 2 Timothy 3:16. Would anybody like to read it?
Read it. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching or reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness.
Yes, thank you, Pastor. And the, actually, it's God breathed. The verb is God breathed. And the cool thing is about this particular verse, I just happened to be at the time when I used to go get my hair done and the stylist was gay, I happened to have my Bible open to this very passage. When you're always wanting to witness to certain people and you're always like, oh, I never get the opportunity. The Bible was open on my lap, you know? And so I read him, you know, all scripture is God breathed and profitable for teaching. It's just like, so what? You just didn't really have any need for the Bible. But I mean, that's an important thing too. Is, you know, why is knowing the Bible important? And everybody can know more. I don't even care how long you've been studying. Everybody can know more about the Bible, right, Pastor?
Absolutely.
You never quite get there. You never quite get there. Always the sanctification. I think the reason it is so important, and I'm sure we all can think of reasons, is what you think about the Bible affects everything else in your life, right? You know, Beloved was actually going to be preaching about Samuel. And Samuel, of course, his story is that his... Are we having a problem, Princess?
No, she's just cold. Maybe if you go to the back.
It is a little chilly up here. I'm just saying that. I always wear a sweater.
Maybe it'll be
warm. Or maybe we could get her a blankie. Would you like to bring a blankie?
Okay.
What you think about the Bible affects everything else in your life. Now, Christians throughout history, up until very recently, took the Bible very seriously. But really in this postmodern mindset that we have, allegiance to the Bible is really being undermined. And it's really some shocking statistics. Bible illiteracy in the U.S. is at a crisis point. And I don't think I did slides on all these, but we're just sort of putting it together, you know, on vacay, so it's probably not as... I'm put all the quotes on there. But just let me read a few things while Kelly's getting settled. In an article titled "The Crisis of Bible Illiteracy and What We Can Do About It" from Biola University, which is one that's, you know, dedicated to, you know, raising up people for the ministry. Birding, who is the author, described the problem as a famine, and he's not being overly alarmist, he maintained. Christians used to be known as people of the book. They memorized it, they meditated on it, they talked about it, and they taught it to others. We don't do that anymore. We don't, not like we should. And in a very real sense, we're starving ourselves to death. Because you're feeding on the word, right? You're feeding on the word. You're actually ingesting it, if you as spiritually. And it's feeding you, and we're really not doing that any longer. Okay, according to 2014, and actually they just re-updated it, the state of the Bible, and I was telling this, and I was going to, I was so excited, I wanted to print out for Beloved, it was like 20 pages. 2017, State of the Bible by Barna, which is a really well-renowned market research firm. And I totally burned up the printer, didn't I? We had to buy a new printer, something I did. The Bible just sort of fried the poor computer. So I wasn't able to print it out, but it just took up a little statistics. A majority of U.S. adults, 81%, consider themselves highly, moderately, or somewhat knowledgeable about the Bible, 81%. But less than half. Welcome back, ladies. Yeah, less than half, 43%, were able to name the first five books of the Bible. The statistics are similar to the previous 2013 report, which also showed not only half knew that John the Baptist was not one of the 12 apostles. Beloved and I saw this play out last week. You know, we did this sort of binge watching of American Bible Challenge. And it seemed like there were two extremes of people. There were people that were really, really well-versed in the Bible. Maybe seminary students, right, Beloved? Or ministers, right? And then there were people that were really, really into the activity. maybe they were volunteers, but they were very light on the Bible knowledge. And they weren't Bible scholars, but they were doers, and their heart was really into it. Now, when asked to name the first five books of the Bible, this is back to that. I sort of skipped over that, so we're gonna have a pop quiz for any of you who are napping. Wake up, we're gonna do a pop quiz. Close your Bibles. You gonna have your Bibles open? Okay, no Bible. God has no Bible open. First five books of the Bible. Write them down, I'll give you a.
Mine's
so
big, I can't carry it.
No looking at the Bible. Who can? I mean, first five books of the Bible.
Other than Dunn.
Maybe a piece of paper, need a pen. First five books of the Bible, write them down, jot them down. Okay, first five books of the Bible. Who's got them?
Thanks, Phil.
Pentateuch.
No, I want the books, not what it's called.
Yeah.
What are the first five books of the Bible? Who can name them?
Edith got them.
Edith!
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
Thank you. Anybody else? Well, now you know them. The shocking part is, who could not name the first five books of the Bible? Me!
Me.
And most people can't. But me is a little different than maybe you, because who spent years and years in the me, and who has a master's degree in Christian education? That would be me. I'm glad Shannon's not here to repossess my degree. Suffice to say, I'm just being brutally honest. Because I want you to know, I mean, even if you think you know it, you may not know it. And not to get all full of knowledge, right? Don't be puffed up, as the Bible says. Suffice to say, we need to do a whole lot more. Okay? Do a lot better job. So, what's the good news? What's the good news in all of this? The good news is the winner of the $100,000 prize, because the two that gave away $100,000, was a team of both kind of people, right? People that are really, really passionate and people that are really, really well trained. So the Lord needs you both. Just because you don't have training or just because you don't maybe have the activity, you need both of them. In fact, the winner of the one season were just a couple who had lost a child, right, beloved? And they were just so, that just totally changed their life. It's humbling to see how the word can truly transform people when it really gets a hold of them. So that's what I wanted to get a hold of us. The other shining example, and this was totally unexpected, because we think, oh well, he or she's been doing this a long time. That's why they know it. Oh, Ruth knows it because, you know, Ruth has been on the earth maybe a little longer than everyone else, right? I mean, that's the assumption. But it's not a function of time. In fact, if not the best example, right, beloved? There was a 16-year-old boy. And he was just incredible of his knowledge of the Bible, and he hadn't been to seminary. He just had been raised up, and his father had schooled him for his whole life. So it was very humbling. So I just wanted to share that and just make that challenge to us. You know, maybe this would be something you could start this summer. It's just to take the Bible a whole lot more seriously. Because wherever you are on that Bible spectrum, whether you don't really read it as much as you think you should, or that you've been doing it your whole life, the Lord can use all of us, if we just study His Word and use it for His glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity. You've given us this Word, and yet we are just one generation away, if we're not already there, of being totally Bible illiterate. And once we get to that point, Lord, that's a frightening place to be. So we need to rededicate ourselves. We take that Bible challenge, the BBT Bible challenge, that we are going to start this summer in earnest to know our Bibles and to use it for Your glory, Lord. Whether we are just studying it or whether we are the hands and feet, we need to be doing both. For Your glory, Lord, in the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.